The kingdom of God is one of the most misunderstood concepts in Christianity. So, what is the kingdom of God? Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today, and we are looking forward to our discussion together.
That's right, and our theme today is The Kingdom is Here. Today's study in Luke deals with several passages that people tend to think only talk about events that will take place in the future, but today we're going to see how Jesus is actually talking about a kingdom that has already arrived and can completely transform our lives today, so stick with us.
And we are joined today, and I'm excited because we are joined by Serena, Phil, and Lauren. And tell me, how glad are you to be on Cross Connection today?
Very
Scale
glad.
Of 9 to 10. How excited?
You're 12 or 15.
12, yeah. Excellent. And I hope you're also excited to see what the Word of God will reveal to us.
Yeah.
And before we jump into the Word, let us pray. And Phil, could you lead us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, we're blessed to be here, and we really want to learn what you have for us to learn. So we just pray that you'll inspire us as we study your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just this past week, I met a person who told me how they enjoy Cross Connection, and they asked me a question. And the question was, why are you always so happy when you're studying the Word of God? And they said, how can it be any other way?
Yeah.
Whenever you open the Word of God, it just sets your hearts on fire.
Yeah.
And I hope your heart is also on fire. So let us know how you benefit from studying the Word of God together with us. Please write to us, and Sergio will definitely make sure to respond to that. I will also do. We will also definitely respond. So today's study is we are in Luke chapter 12, and it's the second half of chapter 12, and we are with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. On the road to Jerusalem. Because the Gospel of Luke, this is just a reminder, the Gospel of Luke can be divided into two sections. Mm-hmm. One section is Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And second section, which is after chapter 9, Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. And it ends with his crucifixion, death, and resurrection in Jerusalem. So we are in the second half, because chapter 12 is after chapter 9, for sure, which is definitely the second half. So we see that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. So let's get into the Word.
All right.
So we are with Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, traveling through the fields and lakes, all the way to Jerusalem. So in previous presentation, in Luke chapter 12, we see in the 1 through verse 34, we see how Jesus reveals to us, like, talks about priorities. In fact, the entire passage ends with this very beautiful verse, verse 34. And Serena, could you read for us chapter 12, verse 34? What does it say?
Sure. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
So what do you see right from this verse? It's just kind of an introduction to the following study as well. Phil, what do you
think? I think it just shows, like, it really matters where you put your focus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're thinking of things that are money-focused or gold or anything like that, that's where your heart's going to be. That's going to be what you care most about.
Mm. Would you say that sometimes things that you worry about those things the most, that where your heart is with? Like anxiety that happens all the time. How do you feel it in your world, in your life?
Well, you know, I was with someone who, we were driving down the same highway once, and he said, I saw the worst thing. There was a guy that got into an accident in his old classic antique Corvette. And he had driven before me, and so I had followed him. And I said, you know what, I saw something even worse. I saw a guy in his old classic Corvette on the side of the road crying. And to me, it was just like, you know, it would hurt so much. But I put myself in his shoes and I was thinking, like, this is what this guy cares about probably the most in this world.
Yeah.
And he just got into an accident. It just got damaged. And now it's kind of worthless. And I think, like, how sad to have all your focus put into that instead of things that are really more important in this world.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind as we go into this passage, to remember what we did in the last study, mm-hmm. because we're about to read some things that are kind of hard, some passages, the sayings of Jesus that are a little bit, at least initially, tough to handle. And it's important to remember what Phil just highlighted, that in the previous passage, he's talking about this kingdom liberates you from worrying. Mm-hmm. You know, fear is like this driving force for humanity, you know, the mm-hmm. fear of survival, the fear of everything. That's what the world is, and the kingdom brings this liberation from that. It's a treasure, as in the verse that Serena read. So I think it's important to keep in mind as we move forward that this treasure that this kingdom is.
Because whatever you treasure here on earth can be lost.
Yeah.
And there is only one thing that is eternal, that cannot be lost. And this is what Jesus actually highlighted in verse 32. So we need to read verse 32. And it's interesting because our passage is actually starts with Luke chapter 12, verse 35, and all the way to verse 59. But in order to understand that passage, we always need to read the context,
right,
or something that precedes as well, which is previous verses. Verse 32, and let's see what that verse says. Lauren, could you read for us verse 32?
Of course. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hmm.
So what are the words of encouragement and promise that Jesus gives to his disciples in this verse?
It shows me that God really wants to give this kingdom. Like, he really wants to share what's important and what matters in this world. And I think a lot of people have this idea of God as this overbearing God that hates people and is vengeful and all that stuff. And here it kind of points out that God really wants what's best for us and what's most important, and he wants to give it to us. Like, he wants to give it to us.
Yeah.
And the verse is not just with pleasure, but with what? Like, with exceedingly good pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he's willing, he definitely wants to give you this kingdom.
Yeah, and the kingdom is presented not as something that will arrive later, that we need to suffer through first in order to earn it or something like that. It's presented as something that is better than the immediate world around us. I mean, the very next verse, 33, after 32, verse 33, sell what you have and give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. If that Corvette is the main thing in your life, don't, not because of some moralistic thing that you ought not to, that Corvette will break down someday, and I want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. So, so put your heart in things that will not break down and that will last forever, that are eternal. Put that, let that be where your heart is, because then you'll be happy.
And today, we talked about that today in Christianity, the kingdom of God is probably one of the most misunderstood concepts.
Yeah.
In all of Christianity, some people say that it is something that will happen when you, or it's a place where you go after you die.
Yeah.
Others say that it will be established here on earth. Others say that it will come only in the future. But Jesus presents something dramatically different also. Mm. He says, no, you can enjoy it here right now, and it will be manifested also in the future when I will come back and take you home. So it's both. Mm-hmm. And why is it so important for us to understand that we can enjoy this fellowship and this kingdom with God? We're not talking about another kingdom, building another empire. Mm. We're talking about this kingdom that transcends all empires. Why is it so important for us to understand that we are citizens of this kingdom?
I think that makes it real, because, you know, it's something that's in the here and now, instead of something that's in the future, generations later, after we've died or something like that. It's something that matters right now. And it makes it kind of relevant for the things that we go through throughout our day, the trials, the struggles, the bad days.
Yeah. No, and what you're talking about, Phil, what Jesus is presenting here is what makes what he's presenting different than all of the world's other religions. Because it's in some variation or another, all the world's other religions are, you need to go on this long, protracted journey, often one of suffering and denial and this arduous journey, so that maybe, if not in this life, in the next life, you will receive your reward. Mm-hmm. And Jesus instead says, here's your reward. Mm-hmm. Have it instead of the world around, and you will receive happiness and peace and a freedom from fear and everything else right now. And that's precisely what makes it such good news compared to other things that we find in the world.
That's true.
This is a very beautiful message of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not about the future only. Because so often, this is so interesting, because in Barnes & Noble and everywhere at the airport, every book about the future is one New York Times bestseller almost. I mean, not New York Times maybe, but some other bestseller. Yeah. But we completely forget about something that also can start right now and right here. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus says. You know, if you are my follower, you need to understand that it starts here and continues through eternity. Okay, so
it's both, because it will come later, you know, but it's also now.
Exactly, because it starts and and never ends.
Right.
And lasts forever. Are you excited about this?
Yes.
Good news.
You're awesome. It's a good news, because we can enjoy it right now. And then the next passage, this is the passage that we will study. Mm-hmm. The next passage tells us about how we need to be prepared for this. And Sergio, could you give us a quick text of Luke chapter 12, verses 35 all the way through verse 48.
Yeah, so this text covers some parables on this idea of watchfulness, like you said. So to start off, Jesus gives short parables about watchfulness. And the first says that it is like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. And when he, that being the master, finds them waiting, he will have them recline and he will wait on them. But they must be ready, because the Son of Man will come when they do not expect. A good and faithful servant, this is another one now, is put in charge of all the master's possessions. But if the servant begins to get lax, the master will come on a day when he does not expect. For everyone who has been given much, much will be expected.
Okay, so verse 35 starts with this idea. Let your waste, verse 35, so Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. So what does it mean to be ready? And what do you think, what does it mean to have your waist girded? What is he talking about, waist girded?
I think it is when you have to spiritually and mentally be prepared. And when they're saying waist girded, I think like you're just to be dressed and just be ready for him, because you don't know when he's coming. So you have to be 24/7 ready. And with your lamps burning, it's like representation, you'd say, like, you know that Jesus is coming. You know, you, like I said, you don't know when. So just be ready, be mentally and spiritually just prepared, get ready.
Yeah, and you know, if I could just add a comment that can maybe help place us in the context in which Jesus is talking. We obviously know that Jesus died and resurrected. We believe that Jesus died and resurrected and that he will come again one day. That's our context. This context, however, is different. We read in Luke 9 several studies ago, Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah, and Jesus tells him not to tell anyone. So this whole idea that the Messiah is coming, that the Son of Man is here in the form of Jesus, that's not public yet. You know, Jesus is still hanging on to that card. So when he's talking about these parables that allude to the Son of Man coming, that's not immediately obvious to them that it's Jesus, even this first time coming. So I think it's important for us to consider, we're talking about the kingdom that has arrived in the form of Jesus. They're not quite aware of that yet, you know. So we're only thinking about second coming, but he's talking about that first coming.
That's really powerful. I'm sorry, just to just to hear that in perspective, that really kind of puts it all into perspective for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in this case, when in previous passages we read that how Jesus encourages his disciples to go out and start promoting this kingdom.
The kingdom of God has come near, is what he tells them to say.
So in the first is 12 disciples are sent, and 70 disciples are sent. And we read about it in the Gospel of Luke. And then we see, and then when they go out, they first of all, they take only their bags. And secondly, they also gird their robes. Because people at that time, they were not wearing jeans and pants.
I keep learning things.
They were wearing robes. And if you were working hard, or if you were walking fast, you needed to gird your dress or that robe. So they would put it in their belts and they would run. So when Jesus says, let your robe be girded, make sure to put them so that you are able to run. You're able to run and do some work, do act, not just come and wait and sit and spiritually, mentally, no, I will meditate now on the goodness of God and I will prepare myself. No, he says, I want to be the servant to everybody around
you. And we will pick up that cross.
And we will continue understanding and learning what it means to gird and let prepare yourself for work while waiting. Not not just waiting, but prepare yourself for work after this short break, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
That's why people don't like breaks. Don't go anywhere. We will be back after this short break.
That's right. We are just getting warmed up, so stick with us.
We are so excited about our discussion, and we just learned how Jesus, again, Sergio put us in a very good kind of perspective when he said that when the disciples listened to everything that Jesus was saying about the Son of Man coming and the kingdom of God that is already here, they didn't think about Jesus's death, and this is not even necessarily the second coming, but something that they
still
can
trying
experience.
To grasp the first one. Who is this man in front of me right now?
Exactly. And then Jesus says in this next story, which is the parable about faithful servant and evil servant. And he says in verse 35, let your waist be what?
Girded.
Girded. Which is not a very used, well-known and very well-used.
I haven't used that phrase in a while.
Yeah. Well. But that means prepare to work. Put your dress, just do what Sergio did.
Roll your sleeves up.
Roll your sleeves up because you will get to work. You will do something now. So this is what Jesus is saying. And look what happens here. Verse 37. So he talks about, then he talks about servants. Verse 36. He talks about servants because like the return.
The fire burning. He's coming back.
Because he's coming back. So you're like, put yourself in this context. He's talking about the servants. Servants. And look what happens. This reversal that happens in verse 37. 37. Yeah, cool. Phil, can you read for us Luke chapter 12, verse 37?
Sure. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them.
So what do you see here?
To me, this is such, and when I read this, it was such an odd statement, such an odd idea, because I feel like back in that day, the people would, or you'd want to be, I guess, you'd want to be high up enough or you'd want to be respected enough that you have servants that take care of all these things. And it would be kind of looked down upon to be a servant and to do this. And so I think it's just so amazing and such an odd statement for Jesus to say, you know what? The master of the house is going to come home. He's going to find that you're doing what's right. And, well, he's going to switch roles with you.
And totally unexpected. He's not coming back to bring the hammer down. He's coming back to serve you. So if we look at this context now, it's like, so first we see this kingdom of heaven. It's, or even if you're poor, even if you have nothing, you will have treasures now. You'll be liberated from fear, and you'll have this kingdom that you can experience now. But then don't get lazy. Let's get to work. Let's share this fire with the whole world. But even while you do that, your master is going to come and serve you. So it's this great back and forth that we have here, where it's not just sitting back and selfishly taking a kingdom, but also it's not a master who's asking you to work who isn't willing to serve you yourself. Like, it's just this cool balance.
But exactly. And what is important also to understand, what kind of work is this master wants us to do? Because we see what kind of work this master wants us to do from his own example. He does what he wants us to do. He says, you want to hear what I want you to do? You know what? Let me show you. Let me tell you.
You always follow your master, right?
Yeah.
And here's what we see our master doing, waiting on us.
So what does it mean then for us to be girded today and follow the example of our master then?
It means to serve others, I think. I think it means to always be ready to help someone else, you know? I think that's what being girded means today.
This is great. And look, absolutely, because look what happens here. Jesus completely rejects all statuses, status of this world, any status of this world, because there is no such thing as status in the kingdom of God. If you think in terms of status, I have this job, you have that job, my salary has seven numbers behind it, or whatever that may be. I don't know. No, not mine. Oh, my salary has, etc. I make so much money in an hour. I have beautiful kids. You don't have to. Your kids are not so beautiful. My wife is wiser, whatever. It's just nonsense. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing. In the kingdom of God, everybody is equal. And in the kingdom of God, master will come and serve.
And I like that because I feel like this is an example that he sets up as what we want to attain to. Mm-hmm. And I know people that they talk about trying to get lots of money. They talk about buying that boat and sailing off to the Caribbean or whatever. And here I feel like Jesus is presenting the model of what we should aspire to. And it's a servant that serves others, that helps others, and that really kind of puts to perspective what's so important. And kind of going back to the whole treasures thing, like, don't buy these treasures, don't seek these treasures. Go after the things that really make an impact on people.
Yeah. Mm. Now, isn't it so powerful to think when you serve a master that serves you, that is what he does when he encounters you? Like, you feel like so rich, you know? I feel so rich that, man, I got to serve other people now. What am I going to do and just let my master serve me? No, I got to go serve him. It would bring shame to me to just sit back and let my master serve me while I do nothing. I mean, that feels shameful to me, you know? And so I feel this deep compulsion that how could I just let my master serve me while I do nothing? I have to go and serve the world too.
So next time when you hear or when you talk about the kingdom of God, always remember this parable that is recorded in Luke chapter 12 and say, you know what? What do I do to promote this kingdom around me? Yeah. What do I do? Do I just pray and just think and just have my light burning but forget completely about girding my robes? Or do I just gird my robes and completely forget about praying and spiritual work? So both of those, spiritual and practical, they are united in this kingdom of God.
Yeah,
that rejects all status, any status. Yeah. Okay, the next thing that happens in this very story, that's why I like the word, and I love the word of God. Look what happens in verse 40. Verse 40. Mm-hmm. People always are concerned about when this happened. And Lauren, what do we read in verse 40?
Okay, it says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Do not expect, and you do not know.
Right.
So just be ready always. What is the lesson that we can learn from this verse?
Well, I think you alluded to the fact that this can sound very ominous. Mm-hmm. It's coming when you don't expect, you know. But first of all, the Son of Man is the master who serves us, you know, as the previous verse alluded to. And in fact, the verse right before this, it says, and this is something that struck me. It says, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come. Not if the servant knew what hour the thief would come, if the master of the house knew. So this thief that's coming, you know, it's almost like, well, let's protect this kingdom. You know, this kingdom could also be under attack. Let's make sure that we are ready for our master when he comes so that, you know, this kingdom that he's trying to spread throughout the world, you know, that we can be prepared for that and we can keep it alive. You know, it's not that I'm going to be destroyed or something like that. You know, it's something else.
Yeah. So exactly. And what we see here also is just because the master sometimes, so Jesus says, first of all, he is the master. And then he completely twists it and he says, by the way.
New analogy.
Yeah, new analogy. It's a new story. It's just like, I am the master. You're my servants. I come and start serving you. You and you almost become like a master now. And then here's another analogy. He says, there is a master of this world, but there is a thief or this robber who wants to break into this world and snatch out maybe and just establish this new territory. And this thief is not necessarily a bad analogy because in this case, it's just the fact that it comes unexpected. It comes unexpected. And that kingdom comes unexpected to everybody and it is already present unexpectedly. Because sometimes we see those actions of kindness and actions of unimaginable compassion in this world today, and this is exactly when we see it coming so unexpected. And at the same time, this kingdom will come when Jesus will come again. And that is why the following verse 41, Peter asks a very legitimate question there, because this is exactly probably the question that I would ask, I think, if I was thinking about it. And Serena, what is that verse? What does that verse tell us? Verse 41, 12:41.
Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?
So why do you think he was so concerned? Peter was so concerned. He's just, wait a second. This is us.
Yeah.
Here we are. We are the disciples. So do you talk this parable? Like, because is this parable for only us?
All people? Is this about the 12 here with you?
Are we the only ones for servants, master relationship? Or is it about everyone? Yeah. What are you, like, what is this about? Why do you think Peter is raising this question? Or is he similar to us?
I find that it's kind of natural just to think, like, does this apply to me or does it not? Like, And I think Peter, you know, no matter what, would be interested in what Jesus is saying. But I know myself sometimes we want to know how it applies to us and if it's something that's really for us or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my practical answer.
Mm-hmm. No, that's powerful. I mean, you know, we all would want to think, well, this is our master here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because we study the word, so he's our master. But what if he's the master of someone who knows nothing about him? Mm-hmm. What if he's the master of someone who completely who misunderstands him or has even said bad things about him? What if he's the master of all people? Mm-hmm. You know, that completely changes our understanding. So Peter's like, wait, so which is it? You know?
Yeah. And this is a notion that was very prominent in the time of Jesus, because the nation around Jesus, which is the Jewish nation around Jesus at the time, first century Judaism, they thought that they are the only ones who are chosen by God.
Right. Yeah.
And the disciples, obviously, they were also thinking, oh, we are by this master.
This is our guy.
This is our guy.
Yeah.
Like, you are talking to us, of course, because we are the ones. Mm-hmm. Or you definitely are not talking about all people.
Right.
All people will be served by this master. And Jesus says, and then he continues, he says, yes, I talk about all people. And when the word all is used, it includes everybody living in Africa, Argentina, Japan, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere. It's just because it's the entire world.
Mm. And I feel like it's not just back then, but even today. We have so many different religions, many different denominations, even in Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to really focus on our type, our people, the people that we go to church with, and feel that we have that closeness to Christ and forget the fact that it's open to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And that is very important to understand because the kingdom of God is so much bigger and so much wider. It doesn't center around only our religion.
Yeah. Right.
Because it includes people who are on the streets. It includes people who are in other churches, because the kingdom of God is the one that unites. And everybody who is united are based on the Word of God and on the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and on Jesus Christ and God the Father. Yeah. So basically, that means that we follow the Scripture diligently.
Right. Yeah. Well, and these themes will, of course, continue to be developed by Luke. And, you know, we'll find it in our next study when Jesus talks about the narrow gate, and people will come from north and south and east and west and all over. And people will be surprised that, wait, look at all these people going through the narrow gate. We're starting to see the beginnings of that here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there is another dramatic reversal that Jesus talks about in verses 45 through 47. And Sergio, could you just remind us about what is happening in this reversal in the second half of this parable, which is verses 45 through 47, but just in a nutshell.
Okay. It's basically you have the servant getting lax. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, man, my master's taking a little while. Mm-hmm. So you just start to get lax and, you know, beating his servants, eating and drinking, you know, and then it ends with the master knew his master's will, but he didn't live according to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this is a very important thing that you highlighted. He knew his master's will.
Yeah.
But he said, oh, the master is delayed.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me get drunk and just enjoy my life and beat.
Ungird myself.
Ungird myself. just even beat others.
Yeah.
And then Jesus comes, and what he does is just unheard of. Mm. But we will find out what he does after the break. So don't go anywhere. We will continue our discussion after this break.
That's right. And Jesus said that he came not to bring peace, but division. What did he mean by that? We'll explore it together after the break.
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. But I know you feel the same. So make sure to connect with us. So we just talked about this another analogy. Peter comes to Jesus and he asks a legitimate question from his perspective. He says, Jesus, so tell me, are you talking about us, only us who are next to you? Or are you talking about all people? Everybody who is around us and those who we deem not worthy over this kingdom? Jesus says, let me tell you. I talk about these servants, and he doesn't respond to the question immediately. He gives another parable. And in that parable, he talks about the servant. Tell us again, what did that servant
do? Yeah, the servant got lax, and then he started to live not just a lax life, but an aggressively wicked life. You know, he's beating all of the other servants now. And then, of course, when the master comes back, that's not what he had in mind. So this complete, you know, moving away from what the master wanted, and he knew better, is the thing that Jesus highlights as well.
What did we see on the example of this master in the previous, like first half of this parable? What did we learn about that master? What did that master do?
That master was ready.
He girded himself.
Was ready to work.
He girded himself and started.
The master served his servants.
Serving, yes. So this is an example that the servant needs to any servant needs to follow. And in this case, we see the servant beating others and just getting drunk. In other words, as Sergio was saying, ungirding himself.
Yeah. Well, and I think we think of this context a lot, and it's very unfortunate. Within Christianity, we'll say things like, well, the nation of Israel was given something, and then they completely let it go. And it's a, look at how poorly the Jews handled the coming of their Messiah. And so then it opened up to everyone. But we can be the exact same way now. We think, well, by default, by birth, well, I'm a Christian, you know, and so therefore I don't have to think about how I act. I don't have to think about how I treat people. But meanwhile, if Jesus sees you acting antagonistically towards the people around you, say, you're not my servant. My servants, if they follow my example, serve other people, you know, and so we can get caught up in this birthright thing. Well, we have an inheritance, and so I can act however I want.
Yeah, that's true. Isn't it funny how relaxed we get all the time, no matter what? Like, I was just thinking about when it talked about the thief. And, like, you know how sometimes you may leave your house door unlocked? And then, like, you're like, oh, nothing happened. Okay, so then, you know, you keep leaving unlocked again. And then you get comfortable. Like, you know what I mean? You're not ready. You're not, because nothing bad has happened or nothing has happened to you. You get so relaxed. I just think that's just crazy that we're like that. Over and over and over again. And God will send us wake-up calls like, hey, wake up. You know what I mean? Like, we'll have
your fire's going out.
In. And then we'll lock the door for a second. You know what I mean? But then do it again. So.
Well, I feel there's a progression here where, you know, the servant gets lax. Then he starts beating the other servants. And he starts, like, it just kind of, like, it starts simply. And then it gets more and more and worse and worse. And I even found it interesting with this one. Like, what would he be beating the other servants for? And I would assume maybe he didn't do what they wanted or what he wanted, or they didn't do what he wanted them to do, if I can get that. Or like they just didn't do what he wanted. So he started beating them. And I kind of thought about it. And from my perspective, there are religions that will force themselves on other people, judge them. And not even just religions, but I mean, even our denomination, my denomination, we can look at other people and say, you're not doing or you're not eating or living how we want you to.
Yeah.
So therefore, we just kind of mentally beat them down.
That's powerful.
And it was, to me, that was like, it was me thinking, like, am I doing that to other people?
Well, and then to take that a step further, too, to continue that logic, this servant knew better. It highlights that the servant knew better. And sometimes we think, well, I know something. I know something you don't know. I believe I have a proper understanding of some theology or some doctrine that you don't have. And that's good enough. And Jesus is saying, no, look at this guy. It was not good enough. He knew all the right things, but, you know, he got ungirded. His lamp went out. The fire in his lamp went out. And, you know, look what happened to him. You know, so it's not the knowing of things necessarily. It is keeping that lamp burning.
And this is a very important point, because we see again and again that the kingdom of God is a unity or a combination or amalgamation of two things, service and knowledge. Because if there is only knowledge, it's not the kingdom of God. If there is only service, it's also not the kingdom of God. Because you can do good things to others, but
where's my guidance now? What am I following?
Exactly. Yeah. You can do it only for the sake of goodness and completely forget about humbling yourself or even understanding of the fact that it's not me. You can be proud of what you do. This is service also. But Jesus says, no, I want you to understand that you need to be humble in what you do, and also I want you to understand that you need to do something also. So, and this is what we all learn from this story. And then it ends with something very important. Jesus says that when the master comes back, verse 47, Can somebody read verse 47? Sure. Serena, please, could you read?
And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do accordingly to his will shall be beaten with many stripes.
Okay, so do you see what happens here? Mm-hmm. It's like it's very doomy and gloomy picture. Mm-hmm. Because then this this servant is what happens to that servant?
Gets beaten.
Mm-hmm. But look, what did he do to others?
He beat them.
He beat them. Yeah. Mm. If he, for instance, was shouting at somebody else, maybe the line that we would read here would be he was also shouted at.
Yeah.
So what is the lesson that we learned here?
Same thing will be done to you.
Yes.
It will return unto you.
Exactly. So Jesus is not saying, the master will come and do something worse to you. No, the master will do what you do to others.
Yeah. This notion of justice is in there. Yeah.
Exactly. It's justice. It's justice in its full revelation.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what do we learn from that?
Well, that makes me think of when it says not to judge others because you will be judged.
Right.
It just kind of reminds me further of that equal punishment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And when you forgive others, you'll be forgiven, you know, in equal measure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that notion of it will come back to you. Yeah.
So that is also important for us to remember. We need to treat others in accordance to God's will and in accordance to the way we want to be treated also.
Right.
Those are two golden commandments.
Yeah. Right.
Love your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
Okay, so let's move forward. And then we approach this final destination, which is this parable is often talked about as the parable about the second coming as well. Mm. So because this is when the master will come and judgment is revealed here. So we see first it's Jesus talks about his present coming, which is he is already here.
Right.
You can enjoy and experience the kingdom of God now. Mm. But at the same time, he also alludes to something that will happen in the future. Mm. And we will see it later when he talks about the baptism that he will have to endure, which is his death. And then, so it's definitely, there is an allusion to something else, something that will be happening in the future, which is the second coming. Mm. And this is also a present reality. This is not just a dream. Mm. This is something that will also happen. At least we believe so.
Yeah.
We would like to think so because the Bible tells us so.
Right. Yeah.
So this is what we also talk about. So why do you think it is, we have to be live responsibly, I guess, and for the kingdom of God that is here and also in the future? And why do we also need to anticipate this kingdom in the future as well? Why is it so important for us today, for Christians, to think that, yes, the kingdom will come again, I mean, Jesus will come again and the second coming will happen?
Well, I think it's always dangerous to start talking about things that you need to do, things that you ought to do without the context of the cross. And as you alluded to at the beginning of the show, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the way to Jerusalem to suffer and die for the whole world. And so everything that we read here, Luke is intentionally placing in that context because he's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. And so this is a master who is about to die for the whole world. And so if as long as everything that comes after that, that we frame in that understanding that it's not something that I need to do because the master is going to come and beat me, mm-hmm. or I need to do that because if I don't, this, that, and the other is going to happen to me, it needs to be in the context of the awe of the extent of God's love as shown at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see how Jesus also talks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? He never makes this transition so seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't make it so like pinpoint. He doesn't pinpoint that there will be a transition. He says, no, I want you to experience this kingdom now.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, this transition will be seamless.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will not even feel the difference because you already live in this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You live in this kingdom and then it will just be continued. Mm-hmm. You die. And then you rise again, and then you will be with Jesus.
Mm.
Like when you die, you just sleep. You don't go to a certain place. You just wake up, and then you're with Jesus. And this is the point that Jesus points out. And then he also says, but that I will come back. Let's read Luke chapter 21, verse 27, and Acts chapter 1, verse 11. So Luke chapter 21, verse 27. And whoever finds it first, reads it first. So this is the Luke chapter 21, verse 27. And Phil, could you read
that?
Yeah, 27.
Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Mm.
Okay, so what will happen to the Son of Man? He will come again.
Return.
Yeah.
And this is the gospel of Luke, the same gospel. Mm-hmm. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 11. What do we see here in Acts chapter 1, verse 11?
I have it.
Yes, please.
It says, "Who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'"
So as you see, it's a very present reality. Mm. So Jesus knew that this would happen. And the Gospel of Luke tells us, and Luke himself tells us in the Gospel of Luke as well as in the book of Acts, that Jesus will come again. Mm. And this is a present reality. So we need to also anticipate the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
What are some aspirations and that you think that will be fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus for you?
I think it'll be that connection to Christ, which mm-hmm. to me, this goes along with the seamlessness as well, because mm-hmm. here and now we're learning to become more and more connected with Christ, to learn more and more about God. But yet in the second coming, it's going to be a physical connection and there will be even more opportunity to get to know God's love and who Christ is and all of these things that we've kind of, like it said, we look through a veil or we see, you know, we can't see clearly, and then mm-hmm. we'll be able to see it clearly.
Mm. Yeah, it's so difficult to think about this. If this is the only life that I experience, and this is the end, it's just sometimes I feel like, oh no, it's so sad because I'm almost nearing the end of my years, almost nearing the end of my years, and I wish I could live longer. But then Jesus says, because in my resurrection, you will also be resurrected. Yeah. And this is what we talked about. Cross, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection play an immense role in this entire picture. Because what is the point of second coming if there is no first coming? Right. What is the point of second coming if there was no Jesus' death and there was no resurrection? Mm. Because in Jesus' death, I am forgiven. Mm. And in Jesus' resurrection, I will be restored again, whatever happens, and I will be reunited with him.
Mm. Yeah.
So Jesus' death, forgiveness. Jesus' resurrection, eternal life. Mm. And this is what I believe as a Christian. Mm. It's not the end of my days. And even if you feel that your relative or your friend or your child lost their life, if they lost their lives, just remember that you will meet with them. Mm. Because this is what Jesus promised in his resurrection. And this is the passage that we will read next. Mm. Because in 3 days, Jesus says, I will be resurrected. And in the same manner, we all will be united with him forever and ever. And amen. It's not amen, because we will continue our discussion after the break. So don't go anywhere.
That's right. The kingdom is here, and we will be too. See you soon.
Welcome back. This time flies when you're in Cross Connection. It's just like it's the end of our show. So don't leave us. Just stay with us because we are almost done. But this is what is beautiful that happens next. We see that Jesus talks about something very dramatic. Mm. He talks about divisions. And Sergio, could you tell us what Jesus is talking about in verses 49 through 53? You can read it or you can just tell us about it.
Yeah, here is where Jesus says that he came to send fire on the earth. Mm-hmm. And this is where he goes on to say that, you know, there will be houses that will be divided. There will be father against son, mm-hmm. mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and on and on and on, that people will find themselves divided mm-hmm. As a result of this fire that he seeks to bring into the world.
Yeah, and so if you read these verses, it's very strange, because whenever you think about the ministry of Jesus, you always think about him uniting everybody and Jesus compassionate and Jesus loving. But here he talks about divisions.
Yep.
What do you think he means by that?
This was actually a hard passage for me growing up, because I would hear about this when I was a kid and I would think like, oh, but my family, like we love each other.
Yeah.
I don't want to be fighting with my brother or hate my brother, or my mom or dad or anything like that. And I think that was a little bit of a misunderstanding of the text. Mm-hmm. But I also think that Christ and his kingdom demands your all, and you need to be decidedly in it. And I think there are people that are also decidedly against it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what it is. Like, just naturally, there are going to be some people that are for it, some people that are against it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
No, this is very important because in our study of the Gospel of John, by the way, Cross Connection is an interesting program where you can go through all four Gospels, and this is our last Gospel that we study, the Gospel of Luke. So, but it's interesting, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw my people to myself."
Yeah.
But in this case, in this context, we see that in verse 50, he also talks about something, which is verse 50. "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." Yeah. So he talks about what? His death.
Mm-hmm.
His death. Again, his cross.
Yeah.
And he, in the context of his cross, he also talks about divisions.
Yeah.
So this cross, it seems like, it has two characteristics.
Mm.
It can, one, unite everybody, or second, what can it do?
Divide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the next verse, 51, is, I'll paraphrase, where he says that, "You think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." So I think it's important to remember, though, that that's not Jesus' stated purpose, is to bring division. That's not what he's seeking to do. I mean, if we jump back in Luke's gospel to Luke chapter 2, verse 14, this is the same gospel, the same guy writing this. The angels appear. You know, Jesus is born, and the angels appear, and they only have one thing to say. And all they say is, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace."
Yes.
Goodwill towards men. Jesus came to bring peace. So it's important that we understand. We read this, you know, if we were reading through Luke, we read this earlier. So we know that this is his purpose, is to bring peace. But it's like you mentioned, maybe the way in which it does it will bring division, inevitably, the type of peace that he brings.
And that is exactly even the point of the cross, because when Jesus died, he did bring peace, because he connected heaven and earth forever, for eternity. Now there is no division. It's one. It's like, it's now you can experience this kingdom of God now and right here. But at the same time, there will be people who this message of the cross, by whom this message of the cross will be received as a reason for divisions.
Yeah.
That's why Paul would be saying, like, for you, for the one who are saved, the cross is salvation and glory. But for others, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But think about it now. Let's combine the previous parable now with this thing of the splitting up of families. So there are servants that instead of doing what they ought to do, they start beating people around them. So what if I find myself, especially in cultures at that time, and the cultures exist very much around us in the world today, that are maybe very patriarchal. The first example we see is father, son against father, father against son. What if you're in a family where the father is extremely dominant, and maybe he is acting abusively towards other members of the family? Well, the kingdom is not about that. And maybe that will be friction. Like, no, that is not, you're being a bad servant doing that to our family. Maybe now our family is divided in the context of a kingdom where, no, you ought not to be doing that. That is not the way to live. That is not the way to be. So Jesus didn't come to expressly break up families. But in the context of a family, if the kingdom is not in that, then you're going to see friction where one wants to be controlling and the other is no status, acceptance, loving and serving everybody. If that's not in your family, then there's going to be division inevitably.
So,
I was just thinking that God is—he's always saying to choose. You have to make a choice. You know, you choose. It's black or white. And I think God is saying, like, you know, Jesus is saying, I come to bring peace, but also, you have to choose. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say, oh, well, I believe in you, but you know, you know, relax with that. He's saying, go hard in what you believe. Like, you have to go hard, even if you have to lose a family member to it, because God is most important.
And it's interesting and important that Jesus does not decide, you are with me, you are not, you will be divided, you will not. He says, no, you make your choice yourself. And you bring this punishment on yourself. That's why Jesus gives. He doesn't bring. He just gives what you do. That's why I give division. It's not, he's not coming with this division.
Exactly.
Yeah. He just gives what you deserve.
And that's what I love about this, because it's not the wealthy, it's not the poor, it's not men, women, anything like that. It's really open to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God doesn't predestine. God doesn't decide who it is, and the rest of people are just kind of filler people in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's really up to every single person what they want to do.
And it's that exact beautiful quality that can cause division among people that don't want to live that way. We see Pharisees that are obsessed with their religious power that are unwilling to give that up and to go into this new way of looking at life. There's a rich ruler who is so into his wealth that he could never give that up in order to live in a kingdom where we're all equal, where we all love each other, we all serve each other. So in those instances, yeah, there's going to be division. But that's why, you know, looking at bringing it back to the family, Paul said, wives, submit to your husbands. Mm-hmm. Husbands, submit to your wives. Let's all serve each other. That's when we'll have this great family that is the kingdom of heaven.
And so we move from this parable about two servants. Then we talk about, Jesus talks about these divisions, which are very real. Mm-hmm. And they are happening. They will not happen in the time of judgment, divisions, but they are happening right now and right here, because the division is inevitable. If you follow Jesus, you're his servant. If you do not, you're the servant of another master, of another master who is the thief of whoever that may be on this earth. Look what happens next. So then the disciples and the Pharisees, they also talked about trying to discern the times. And look what happens, Jesus' response, verse 56. This is very important for us to read. Verse 56. And Serena, could you read verse 56 for us?
Hypocrites, you can discern and the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time?
So it's to the multitudes. Jesus talks to the multitudes, to everybody as well. He says, you try to discern the dates and times and everything else, but there is one thing that you lack. You do not see that the kingdom of God is here right now.
Yeah.
Right.
You do not discern this time, because this time is this time that I am talking about.
Yeah.
This time, it's already present, divisions and everything else, and union and servant servant-like life is present. Mm.
And
why don't we see it?
I think it's fascinating because, if I'm correct, they knew their scriptures very well, and including Isaiah. And in Isaiah, the book is full of stuff about the kingdom of God, things that really pinpoint and point to Jesus. Mm. And I just feel like they had that right there. They were so focused on their rituals, their laws, things like that, and they missed the really important stuff that would have told them right there what that time was like and what the times were.
I agree. Like, if you look at verse 55, it says, when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there is. Just the fact that you are aware of what's happening, but you're ignorant to this point of, you know, like, how do you not, I guess, you see it, you know? Like,
your heart is hardened to the kingdom.
Right.
And revealing itself around you.
Right. And you're letting it happen. You're okay with it.
Yeah.
So I think that's very powerful.
Yeah.
I think this whole chapter is saying you have to look past what you see.
Worldly.
Like, you have to look beyond it because, you know, the kingdom of God is here. It's right now. Like, you can't just look, you know, keep thinking about going to heaven. You have to think about now, and you have to think, you have to see through everything on earth to see spiritually. So,
we can be preoccupied with this idea of going to heaven in the future sometime that we completely forget about our neighbor who is dying of hunger.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and that is exactly why Jesus ends this entire chapter. I mean, not Jesus, but Luke, and there is no division, but this section, Jesus ends this section with this idea of, if you go even to the court, make sure to get into peace.
Make peace.
Make peace. Yeah. Stop even discerning and trying to discern anything, because it's not about that.
Yeah.
More than anything else, it's about peace.
And that's what the kingdom looks like. If you want to know what it looks like, that's what it looks like. And there are people that got it. You know, when we think back to the feeding of the 5,000, you know, people's response was, wow, look at, he's feeding all of us. Yeah. We had no food. We're poor. And he's feeding all. This is indeed the prophet who was to come into the world. That is the kingdom. This is the coming of the kingdom of God. And other people can't see it, you know. They're too caught up in other things.
Well, we have only 2 minutes left, and the time really flies.
Yeah.
And I would encourage you to read Luke chapter 12 after this program. Please do. And you will see how all these themes that we just talked about, they just reveal themselves. And make sure to read chapter 13 in preparation for our next study. Will you do it?
Yes.
Thank you so much. So, Luke chapter 13. But tell me, what is your takeaway lesson from today's study also?
I like how the master came and became a servant, switched roles and became a servant. and that example to us, to be servants to the people around us.
Mm. You know, and can I jump off of that with a comment from Doug, talking about what does this kingdom look like? Can we see it around us now? What does it look like? And Doug says, with all the terrible things going on nowadays, it's looking pretty dark. But here and there, I see an act of love and kindness, someone willing to forgive the person who is wrong there, make peace with your adversary. When things are the darkest, the smallest light can be a beacon. It is in these lights that I see the kingdom manifest. So we do see the kingdom around in love, kindness, forgiveness, serving people around us.
Yeah. I think we missed a verse, and it said it's verse 48, and it says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And, you know, that's so important. I just think that God is really, again, calling us higher, calling us to, you know, be servants. We've been given so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't just miss out on, you know, God because we, you know, it's just.
That's true. Yeah. And don't take your time just thinking, oh, there's tomorrow, or I'll do it next week. Like, you have today. Think about it today. It's your goal is heaven. That's what you want. You know, you don't want to just get wrapped up in worldly things and just, you know, be oblivious to everything.
And experience this kingdom today as well. Excellent. Thank you so much. There are two lessons that we need to learn today. First, Jesus will come again and will establish his kingdom of service and justice. And second, we need to remember that we are already citizens of his kingdom here on earth. And that is why we need to be those examples of service and justice in our lives today. Until next week, stay connected with Jesus and his kingdom in your everyday life and here on Cross Connection.